Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you say that you believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, huh? And you acknowledge that you know what that means. That it means that God has given you your body and soul, your eyes, your ears, and all your members, your reason, your senses, and still takes care of them, that he has given you clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land and animals, and all that you have. And you have confirmed your word by saying that you have not spoken deceitfully about this, but that you have spoken what is most certainly true. Do you realize how you have condemned yourself by these words? If you really do believe this, and if by your words, as you have testified, you state that they are most certainly true, then how will you ever explain how you have managed and handled the things that you have done with all that God has given you, which is all that you have, your life itself? How will you ever explain to God, who has given you all these things and to whom they belong, entrusted to your care and management, how will you explain to him how you have done and handled these things? Have you treated all that you have as a gift from God? Or have you treated it as though it was all yours to do with what you please? Are you thankful to God for all that you have because you've said that that was your duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him? Or have you grumbled about what God has given you? Have you complained to God that spouse that he has given to you, he or she has come with some certain, shall we say, manufacturing defects? Or that the children that he is giving you, they don't work quite the way they're supposed to work? Or the parents that he has given you, they make too many demands upon your freedom? Or have you complained that he hasn't given you enough clothing or shoes, or the ones that he has given you don't have the right labels on them? Or not enough food or drink, or not the kind of food or drink that you like to have anyway, that you want more, that you want better, that you want newer? You were perfectly happy with that house and home that the Lord had given you until you saw the one that he gave your neighbor. And now you're not so content with your own anymore, and you think that God is actually being unfair. What are the charges against you that could be raised before God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, for the way that you have managed all that he has given to you? Are there charges of being wasteful that could be raised here? There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. So in this parable that Jesus tells, we're not told just who it is who brought these charges against the manager to the owner, to the rich man. We don't know who that was. Jesus doesn't say. But in our worship this morning, it was our own dear friend, Dr. Martin Luther, who brought the charges against us. And you and I, by our confession and his words and the words of the Apostles' Creed, we raised them up to God. We brought that to God ourselves. God has given you life in all of its parts and all of its pieces, from the material things to the social things to the psychological things to the intellectual things to the spiritual things. It's all from God, and he's given it all to you. This is what your life is. And in addition to all these things, he has also given you time. Time to live your life. And what is it that we say? Don't we say we're having the time of our life? That's a gift from God. He's given it to you to manage, to take care of, to be the steward of. What have you done with it all? And what are you doing with it now? Have you wasted any of it? And are you wasting any of it right now? These are not hard questions, they're fair questions. Your life in all of its parts and pieces is not yours to do with as you please. You belong to God. He continues to hold the deed to your life, even though He has given everything to you for your care and your management. You are the steward of you, and you are accountable to God for your stewardship, the stewardship of what belongs to Him. And the rich man called his manager and said, "What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager." Just like this manager, we too will all have to give an account for our life to God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The writer to the Hebrews puts it like this: "No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must all give an account." Naked and exposed before God kind of sounds a little bit like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? At least last week's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right, Sunday school? Last week, before Adam and Eve wasted all that had been entrusted to their care, God gave them a very good life in a very good world, and then He gave them dominion over it all, which is to say, it was theirs to manage, theirs to take care of on His behalf. It didn't belong to them, it belonged to God, but He gave them dominion. And it was only after they wasted that good life and that good creation that they mismanaged what God had given them to manage according to His word and will, that they were now ashamed of being naked and exposed before God. They had something to hide, all right. And so in trying to cover their shame and their guilt, they made sewed together fig leaves as clothes for themselves. They actually thought that would cover their shame and guilt before God. God took one look at both of them and said, "You look ridiculous in that outfit." And so He made them suitable clothes. He clothed them. He gave them their clothes, clothes that truly did cover all of their guilt and all of their shame. The manager said to himself, "What shall I do then? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." So this man's mind instinctively turns immediately, first thought, to the same place that all of us immediately turn, first thought, whenever we hear that we're going to be held accountable to God for the management of our life. He turns to himself. "What shall I do? How can I save myself?" But after an honest assessment of all of his options, he concludes, "There's nothing that I can do. There's no way that I can save myself. I cannot dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg." Blessed is the man and the woman who comes to this same conclusion, and the sooner the better. "I have decided what to do," he says, "so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat." And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. As the disciples listen to this story unfold from the lips of Jesus, they've got to be thinking just about what you and I are thinking right now, which is, that's not fair. The oil and the wheat don't belong to the manager, they belong to the rich man. What gives that manager the right to give away what doesn't belong to him, and as extravagantly as he does? Whatever mismanagement he was accused of before, surely this mismanagement has got to be even worse. And now comes the great shocker in this parable. And everyone who was just kind of half listening to the sermon because they were drifting off, because they already knew where this thing was headed, and they already knew how it was going to end, suddenly they're snapped to attention because Jesus says the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He did what? The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He gets a medal of commendation for all of this. Listen carefully to this. Don't miss the details here. Many do, and they take this parable all wrong. The master does not commend the dishonesty of his manager. He commends his shrewdness. He commends him for being shrewd. The manager realized that his only hope for future clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, depended not on what he could do for himself, but upon the mercy of others. And so he set out to gain the mercy and the compassion of others so that he would have an earthly dwelling with earthly clothing and shoes and food and drink and good land and animals when his job was taken away from him. And with that, the story is over. That suddenly, that abruptly. And we're just kind of left hanging here because we're not told. So whatever became of this manager? We're not told whether or not the master brought the manager into his office and said, not only are you fired, but I'm going to put you in jail until you repay me all of this that you so liberally gave away in order to make friends for yourself. And we're not told the master was gracious and kind, whether or not the people whom he tried to make friends with ever did take him into their house and provide him with all that he needs. We're simply not told. And so here we are waiting for Jesus to make the point of this whole parable to us. And what we discover is we miss the point because he's already made it. So what is the point of this parable? This is a parable that is very difficult. It's one of Jesus' hard sayings. And many struggle with this. How are we to apply it to ourselves? What does this mean? If the story is a lesson on what we should do if we ever get fired because of some dishonesty that we've committed, if this is a story that is trying to teach us how to stick it to our boss if we ever get called into his office and he gives us a pink slip, well, then the application of the story goes something like this. Do your best not to get caught wasting what doesn't belong to you, but if you do get caught, here's what you do. You use your imagination. You be clever. The end justifies the means in this case. Be shrewd, because shrewdness is rewarded. But that doesn't seem to work, does it? Because after all, this is Jesus who's telling this parable. Could Jesus really be encouraging his disciples to secure for themselves earthly dwellings under whatever circumstances with whatever means is available? And the answer is, of course not. In fact, this is another one of those parables that Jesus tells that only works and only the application is only known when you take it from the lesser to the greater. Going from lesser to greater, then, we could hear the point of the parable like this. Just as this dishonest manager recklessly gave away what belonged to his master in order to secure for himself earthly dwellings, so the disciple of Jesus Christ should be even more reckless with what God has given to him to secure for himself heavenly dwellings. And just what has God given to his disciples, to his people, that they should give away recklessly to others? It is your life in all of its parts and pieces. And in fact, this is just God's will for you. It is just what he wants you to do with what belongs to him. So we are guilty of mismanaging what God has entrusted to our care and our management when we withhold and try to keep for ourselves what God has given us to be lavishly used in the service of others. Now there's an application, I think, that works, at least in theory. But in reality, if in the move from the lesser to the greater, this is as great as it gets, then it's not really very great, is it? Because in reality, we never really do live up to the Master's expectations here. Even with our best intentions, even with our most sincere efforts, we waste what we have been trusted with time after time. So if this is as far as the application goes here in this move from lesser to greater, frankly, this whole story has still not even got off the ground. But if the meaning and the application of this parable were to move from the lesser to the much greater, that is, the much greater than you and me, if this parable was actually about Jesus himself, who is telling the story, if this were actually the story of God the Father Almighty, who entrusted to his only Son the management of all that he has, why then this parable might not only go from lesser to greater, but it might go all the way to the heavens, and it might even take us there with it. If a rich landowner commends his dishonest manager for his shrewdness, how much more will God the Father Almighty commend his honest manager, Jesus Christ, for managing all that he has entrusted to him exactly according to his will? If it is the will of God that the manager of his mercy and grace be ridiculously generous with it in order to win friends for himself, because whoever is a friend of Jesus is a friend of God. If a dishonest manager is commending for cutting the debtor's bills by 40% and 50%, how much more is Jesus Christ to be commended for slashing our debt before God, not by 40 or 50 or even 90%, but by 100%? For he has written over the debt that we owe to God in his own hand and by his own blood, and it reads, paid in full. If a dishonest manager is commended for trying to secure for himself an earthly dwelling, how much more is Jesus Christ to be commended for securing for you an eternal dwelling? Jesus gave his body and soul, his eyes, his ears, his reason, his senses, and all his members unto death for you. He gives you clothing and shoes, clothing that covers all of your shame and your guilt, the robe of his righteousness. He gives you food and drink, that it is his own body and blood, a foretaste of the feast that is to come in that eternal dwelling that he has prepared for you. Don't worry much that this is not fair. Grace and mercy, by definition, are never fair. But grace and mercy is what Jesus Christ has been entrusted with managing according to his Father's will. And the Father in heaven commends his Son's shrewdness. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. I tell you, he is using his righteous wealth to make friends for himself, to make a friend out of you. He wants to take you into his house. And it doesn't get any greater than that. In the name of Jesus.